All right, man, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and today I don't think I'm going to get much further than verse 23 and verse 24. You know, we're ending this book. We've been in it for quite a few months, and I will say it's funny, you know, Jordan put together that Stranger Things theme because that was such a big show. And it kind of still is, but you know what's crazy to me? Like hearing it, I just watch it. It seems old now, don't it? Does this seem old to you listening to it? And that's a positive thing. I want to give you a positive thing about our younger generations. Because sometimes we think that younger generations, you know, we talk all kinds of bad things about them. Even though we've been part of training and raising them, we don't want to take any of that responsibility. But younger generations just kind of get a cheap shot on them. And some of their cheap shots are like they can't pay attention. You know, which I've been accused of that my whole life. But you can't pay attention. And their attention spans are short. And I'd say, I think that's true. I think attention spans are shorter. You know, years ago, you could go into a church service and they say now, you know, you're foolish, man, if you preach, you know, over 30 minutes. Like, people just don't have the kind of attention span. And so, you know, I know I need to do a little bit of adjustment in there in my life, but, you know, I'm also older. So it's hard for me to wrap all this around, but I'm just letting you know this. I read something this week about younger generations and it said, hey, don't fool yourself. Because their attention spans are shorter, one of the benefits of the last couple generations, if they've grown up with constantly having screens and tablets and that type of thing, which, hey, there's negative to all that stuff for sure. But the one thing this article I read said is that younger people learn faster. They're quick. Get to the point and quit milking the thing. You do better. I was like, I don't normally hear a positive spin on it. I normally hear, because I'm reading usually articles written by me and written by people older than me. It has nothing to do with IQ is very high. They just learn quicker and they put it out there. So I just want to say that. But you know, a negative to this and being younger is things change rapidly, don't they? And they can hang, and that's why a lot of older people get frustrated with it. But anyways, Don't sell them short. Just give them the goods. That's what we need to do. I'm going to give them the goods and turn them loose. And that's the goal. That's the goal here anyway. So anyways, it just made me think of that when I read that just while I was hearing the Stranger thing. I'm like, didn't we watch it like 15 years ago? Well, not really. It's just a couple years back we were all fired up about it. It hit it a good time, didn't it? You know? It hit it a good time. And back in, I remember all those COVID days, just kind of watching the Last Dance with Jordan, man. That came out then. Everybody's like, oh yeah, you don't even have to like him. I know you love LeBron over him, but that's okay. You watched it and we loved that thing. Cause why? We had nothing else to do with ourselves. That's why. So here we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's going to take me a few weeks to wrap this book up. But you know what we get now is what they, you know, you could probably call this like a benediction, you know. A benediction is like at the end of a service, it's like an utterance. Sometimes it's like, usually it's a religious service. Somebody would like end this thing. They would like to bestow a blessing upon people. This is kind of how it feels. And it's probably, to me, one of the most beautiful ones in the New Testament. And we started this thing, you know, when he says, like in verse 16, hey, man, rejoice evermore. You know, it's shortened to the point. Hey, pray and don't, no intermission, man. You pray without ceasing. Hey, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Man, be thankful. Hey, quench not the spirit. We talked about that last week, right? Don't quench it. You know, quench the fiery darts of the wicked with the shield of faith. But when God's putting it on you, man, don't quench that. When God's moving, and sometimes it's moving and it's hot, sometimes it's hard. Don't quench that, man. Take that. It says in verse 20, despise not prophesying or proclaiming or the voice of God, hearing it uttered. Don't despise that. Take it. That's what we do when there's a problem in our lives. What's God's word say? That's what we say. When anybody has a trouble, you know what we do when people have trouble? You just preach it out of them. That's what you do. You proclaim the Bible. Truth, what do you do when you got a dirty, you ever have a dirty bowl? You got a dirty bowl at home, just ate some chocolate ice cream. You put it in there and you keep the water running. You run the water in it. That way it don't stick in there, right? You ever get busy, go over and start doing something. I leave the water running. And then I wonder why my bottle bill is so expensive. And then I go over to the sink. I'm looking at it like, man, that bowl's clear. Why? Because we ran that chocolate out of there. That's what we did. And so that's exactly, hey, despise not prophesying. It's the very thing that's going to wash us clean. Amen? When we have trouble, it's the Bible that'll wash us clean. And then it says, prove all things, man. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. You know, things ain't always as they seem. Prove them. And then you hold fast that which is good. Prove them. The Bible even says, try the spirits. Sometimes something spiritual. And you know what I do? I prove it with the Bible. And there's a lot of times people buy into it. And I'm like, I'm not buying that. Because everything that glitters is not always gold, is it? It's just because it shines, man. Don't be like the raccoon, man. They get a hold of it. They won't let go for nothing. Best raccoon trap in the world. Just put a little hole. Put a box in there and put something shiny in there. That's all you need. Put a shiny quarter and a piece of aluminum foil. He'll reach in there and grab that and won't let go. You'll be right over top of him. He'll hiss at you and everything, and he will not let go. But we need to be like that for the good, not that. Prove all things. What he should do is prove it and just say, my gosh, this is just a stupid piece of tin foil. And where in the world's a raccoon going to spend a quarter anyway? But he don't know any better. So me and you need to prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good and don't let it go. It says next, abstain from all appearance of evil. That was one of my favorite ones last week because we abstain from evil. All of us want to abstain from evil, but something that's not taught enough, and as a pastor, I've not been very good at this either, abstaining from the appearance of evil. Sometimes even if it appears bad, be careful of that because people do judge. They judge wrong. They do. They judge by the outside, and we know our God judges deeper than that, right? But that's what he does. And that's the problem is we can have church and everybody can look perfect and pretty, but inside there's a lot of people struggling and got hurt. And so we need to make sure that we judge deeper than that. But since we know we have a world that judges from the outward appearance, let's make sure that we abstain from even something that might even, you know, look evil. And so it says in verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Man, I love these two verses. And I hope it's a real encouragement to you this morning. I love how it starts off and it says, in the very God of peace. God knows where we're at, what we're going through. And today he wants the Maple City Baptist Church knows that he is the God of peace. He is the God of peace. The Creator God, the God of the nation of Israel, the God of the Bible, the only true God. But it makes him the God of peace. My neighbor one time was pouring some concrete under his kid's playset. And I come home from work and I look over and he's back there cussing and yelling because they're wheelbarrowing concrete in the backyard dumping. Well, it just so happens that's what I did for a living. And so I heard them cussing over there, man. They're fighting each other. It's getting hard on them. They got a guy in the back and they're literally pouring like an 8x8 section. It's hard on the back and the front ain't even poured yet. Like they're in deep trouble. And so I go back over there and I just said, hey, Chris, I said, let me help you. Get out of there. Wheelbarrow this concrete to me. And so I just jumped in. You know, he started wheelbarrowing that concrete. And, man, I got it leveled out and smoothed out. And anyways, the truck left. And this guy's thanking me. And I'm in there just sweating my guts out, getting it. Finally, it ended up done. But I did that for a living. So, you know, anyways, when it got done, he just said, Mike, you are a concrete god. That's what he called me. And I was like, whoa. And you know what he meant. They're struggling. And he said, man, you made it look so easy. Well, you guys all do stuff like that in your life, whatever you're good at, whatever you do and run and at work, you just make it look so dang smooth, you know, it's because that's what you do. But it's funny. He's just like, you are. And then for the next 3 years, everywhere I was at, I'd see him somewhere at Casey's and he'd be like, hey, man, this is my neighbor, Mike Hughes. This dude's a concrete god, you know, and I like this because I think the world wants peace. The world wants peace, man. And all we got is turmoil. And the world desires happiness and comfort and peace on the inside. And I like how this passage starts off and says, and the very God of peace. The very thing that the world needs and desires and wants. We know the God of peace. The God of peace. Romans 3:17 says, there's a way of peace they have not known. They don't know the way of peace. Gang, at the beginning of time, when Adam was in a garden, it was so peaceful. And it wasn't just peaceful because of luscious green, waterfalls, all the rivers surrounding the Garden of Eden. That's not what made it peaceful. You know what made it peaceful? Man was at one with God. There was no issues. Guys, do you realize there was no sin? There was no friction between man and his creator. But the Bible says when he did what he shouldn't have done, and God said, don't eat of this fruit, and he did, all of a sudden sin entered in. Human blood rushed through the body, and there became a separation between God and man. And guess what? Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, it is sin that has separated you and God. So now there's no peace. There's a great division. There is friction between me and God. This is life, right? This is how it works. Now, if we were going to define peace, I like how the Bible defines peace. The Bible defines peace, it translates it several different ways. And in Acts chapter 7 and verse 26, in Acts 7:26, it talked about them striving together, and it said, and he would have set them at one again. Set at one again. See, it's a good picture of Adam and God were in one. They had a great relationship. Sin came in between and busted that up. Now there was sin in between. Now, no peace. So to be at peace would to be at one again. To be at one again. I love the way that's worded. Another word frequently used for peace would be the word rest. Rest. Man, it's so peaceful here, isn't it? People say that sometimes, you know. That's the only benefit to going fishing early in the morning on a pond. The only benefit to it is the glass, the water smooth, you'll hear the birds chirping. You throw it out there, and when your lure hits the water, it ripples out. There's something about it just peaceful. And I'm like, the only thing that would make this any big better is if a 6-pound bass just jumped out of the water right now and grabbed my lure. Then it would be chaos. You know, but that's the only benefit to fishing early. I don't like to go in the middle of the day. The sun's beating down on you. It's nasty out there. It's hot and the fish ain't biting. You can't even enjoy peace. That's why people drink beer when they fish, because at least you can catch a buzz, right? That's you caught nothing today except a buzz. Well, at least you're happy. I'm a godly man. I don't want to do that. So that's why I don't fish in the heat of the day, right? Peace, rest. Acts 24 says it uses the word quietness. It's peaceful. It's peaceful. That's the definition of peace. So I just want you to know, when men are at odds with God, there's no peace. You can create peace if you want. And let's just be honest. Why do people like to smoke weed? Really, that's just one of the reasons why. It mellows me out a little bit. People like to take different kinds of substances, and they feel like it brings... Now, the only problem is when you do it and it actually enters into a habit, all of a sudden it does become a stressor in your life to get that and to fight for it and always want it. And that's why it's actually a false peace that doesn't last long. And that's the difference to the peace that God offers. When people try to do those things, people are always like, yeah, I got my neighbors are nothing but drug addicts. I got news for you. They just want peace. That's what you wanted. You just found peace. They've not found it yet. And you can introduce them to the God of peace. Of peace. I think it's you know where I'm headed with this. The very God of peace, the way he brought peace to a planet that was so separated from him and there was sin in between. There was only one that came and took that sin away. Peace is actually a person. Right? Peace is Jesus. The Bible says that. 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, and it's the man, Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. He's the bridge that brings peace, right? That between me and God. Sin was there. There was friction. There was nothing but chaos. And Jesus Christ came and he became that peace. That's why when it's born, the shepherd out there and the angels come up and the angels started singing. And what did they start singing? They started singing, I don't know exactly the song, but the words of the songs were, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Peace was just born on planet earth. There's something, I grew up in the projects and actually in Barberton, Ohio, a suburb of Little Akron. But what I liked about it is some of my neighbors, I liked what they would name their kids. You know, they would name their kids after their cars sometimes or something that was precious to them or a word like that. And somebody to be named, you know, we wouldn't think about it. In our culture, I wouldn't think about naming a kid Peace, but there's people that will. It's my peace child. Well, my very next door neighbor in the apartments that we lived in, they brought home this little bitty baby. You got a little bitty baby that weighs this much and they're holding it like this. Ears pierced already and everything. Just a beautiful child. And they're like, this is Baby Star. I wouldn't thought about naming a child Baby Star, but it's a pretty fantastic name, especially when she becomes famous, man. They're going to say, Baby Star. Oh, is that your name, man? Is that your acting name or your musical name? No, that's what my mom and dad named me, Baby Star. Jesus Christ came to planet Earth and says, on all earth, peace. Jesus Christ is peace. Right? That's exactly what he is. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, we're justified by faith. Meaning this, even though we've sinned, when I meet Jesus, it's just like I've never sinned. So it says we have peace with God, but through Jesus. The only way you can have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. Now we know that, right? And by the way, the context of this passage here is not people getting saved. We know that. He's talking to a church. But I'm making a point here. I'm getting to a big point. Peace. My peace. Jesus got ready to leave and he goes, peace I leave with you. I don't give you peace like the world gives. I'm giving you real peace. And he takes his Holy Spirit and puts it inside of you and me. He says, you know what a nickname for the Holy Spirit is? What is a nickname for him in John 14 through 16? He is the Comforter. Peace. God, thanks for putting comfort on the inside. Because if I didn't have this right now, we'd all be in deep trouble. If I didn't have a peace that runs deep inside of me, the God of peace, do you know him today? The only way to have peace with God and know the God of peace is through Jesus Christ, the peacemaker, the mediator. That's what the Bible says. Have you ever met Jesus? Guys, it's simply that. Don't think, people come to church and sometimes they'll say, I just feel better when I go to church. I get it. I know what you're saying. You know, hopefully it's a safe place and you hear bits of truth, you know. You can back, you know, some people say, yeah, I like to pray. I just do a dump when I'm at church. You know, I just dump all my emotions and feelings out there. You know, I get it. I get that. But the real thing is not about religion and it's not about church. It's about Jesus. He's peace. And the God of peace, I know him. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know the God of peace. And I'm not saying you don't understand peace in different forms. It's there. But real lasting peace is only found, the Bible says, in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, here's one of the points I want to make about peace. Everybody wants to think, you know, and peace is restfulness, quietness, all those nice words that we like. But you do realize peace is not so soft. Everyone wants to make peace like soft. It's really not. You know, the route for peace often comes by violence. It really does. Matter of fact, has it ever made you stumble? If you're quick in your Bible, you can go to Matthew. It's the very first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, he says in verse 34. Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Oh, that's hard words from Jesus, isn't it? Isn't this the one that said when he was born, peace, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. Yeah, Jesus Christ came, but guess what? Everybody on earth is separated from God. It's a sin-riddled planet. And Jesus comes down in the midst of it. And basically, he makes it pretty clear. The only way there's going to be peace, when blood's shed, I'm going to war. That's exactly what he did. He died a horrible, bloody death, didn't he? And because of that horrible, bloody death is, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life and total peace. So he was bludgeoned. He was tortured. He suffered greatly so that we could have peace. He was willing to go to war. Luke 12:51, it says the same very thing. He says, oh, don't think I just came to bring peace. I came to bring division. You know that division? The sword made it very clear. Whap! Which side are you on? That's what he did. Do you know the God of peace? Or what about those of us like Romans 16? I love Romans 16 where it says, and the very God of peace shall what? The God of peace shall come and give you a nice pillow and lay you down. No, it says in the very God of peace, he's going to bruise Satan. That's what it says, under your feet. He's going to crush a head of a serpent. So it says, and the very God of peace is going to come along. You know how it is. You ever find a snake in the grass, you know? And a real snake in the grass. I'm not talking about a person, because we've seen many of those too. But you go out and there's a snake in the grass, and people lose their cool, because, you know, snakes. There's just snakes, right? People freak out. Then somebody's bold enough to just pick it up and go, I got it. And everybody's like, oh, get rid of it. Get rid of it, you know. But all of a sudden, it just brings like a calm to everything. Snake taken care of, right? This is kind of what Jesus Christ, it says, I'll bruise. So it's violent, though, you know, and you got to whack. And they chop the head of the snake off, right? Ephesians 6, I like Ephesians 6. It says, we have the gospel of peace. We take the gospel of peace to the world. That's what I want to do as a pastor, is bring Jesus Christ to people that don't know him. I want people, that's why we go to the jail, but I want people to know Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. To a holy God and to a sinful man, the only mediator is Jesus. And it's the gospel, the good news of peace. Jesus died, buried, and resurrection. He went to war for you. He shed his blood. He took your death. And so Jesus Christ is, he'll make peace, but he'll be the mediator between you and God. So knowing Jesus Christ will save your life. And so we take the gospel of peace to the world. But you know how Ephesians 6 says we do that? By putting on the armor of God. Why do you put on armor? Because it's going to get violent. That's why. It's going to get ugly. That's why. We're at war, Balake. It's time. Have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. But we go and there's some war. But you know what we do is we deliver Jesus Christ. And we get to see people's lives changed, man. And some of you have been this story, haven't you? It's been beautiful. So check this out. And today it says, and the very God of peace. Now, we talked a lot about salvation. If you're not saved today, be it saved, man. Get some peace in your heart. It's through a person. It's knowing Jesus Christ. This ain't empty religion. This ain't just doing a few little dances and gigs. It's not about that. It's not about just coming to church. That's just how you can grow. It's about knowing Jesus Christ. Peace. Peace. Peace, the very God of peace. He's talking to the church, says, hey, the very God of peace. And as soon as he says that, we should all go, I know him. I know him. I know the God of peace. I'm at peace. I know him. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Sanctify you wholly. That word sanctify means set apart. You know, sanctify, man, that's sanctification right there. What is that? Righteousness. That is holiness. So he'll make you holy. The very God of peace sanctify you holy. That word's a word of consecration. Guys, he's telling a church here in 1 Thessalonians, I want you to know something. I'm writing and there's things you guys don't understand, so he's teaching them the Bible. Here's what the word says. Here's what God says. So they're learning. They're growing. He says, at the very end, he's like, guys, here's my benediction for you. A big blessing for you. The very God of peace will sanctify you holy. Like, holy, not holy. He's going to holy make you holy. You'll be holy, holy. It's spelled different, but you get what I'm saying? Completely. He said he'll sanctify you holy. Basically, guys, holiness came into my life when I met Jesus. I wasn't like some holy dude. Okay, Mike, quit drinking, quit acting this way, quit talking this way, get rid of those dirty thoughts. And then all of a sudden, hey, quit smoking cigarettes, you know, do this, and then you can come to Jesus, right? Man, my life's changing. Quit smoking cigarettes. That's not life change. That might be a good habit you were able to break, or a bad habit. It depends on how much you like cigarettes, right? You know, I got a book of Dwight L. Moody. You know, that guy had 3 Bible colleges. But it was back in a day in a culture when smoking was like a good thing. All women smoked, man. Like, it was just a thing but he always smoked a pipe. And I love seeing those pictures of him, because, like, why do I want to smoke a pipe every time I see him? But if you guys see me out there smoking a pipe, well, it depends on what I was smoking in the pipe. Maybe it was a peace pipe. And the God of peace, let me smoke a peace pipe. But he says the God of peace will sanctify you wholly. Now, guys, to get peace in our lives, you know, Jesus Christ brought peace, but he suffered greatly. And I guess I want you to know something. Did you know the process of sanctification? It's a rough road, man. Because being sanctified means we're just going to be like Jesus, doesn't it? Once you become a Christian, your goal is to become like Christ. That's why we all wear little bracelets that say, what would Jesus do? You know, why? Well, that's what I want to think like Jesus now, right? That's what being like holy is, to be more like Christ. That's one of our goals of discipleship, by the way. It's just so you can be like Christ, your character will change, right? God wants me to model his character now that I'm a Christian man, right? The goal is to be holy. The goal is to be like Christ. Is that the goal of the Christian life, to be like Jesus? It's a good one. It's a simple one. It's a big one, to be like Christ. That's why when you become saved, sometimes people are like, hey, dude, I want to talk to you. You shouldn't do that. I heard you say something. You acted this way. We hear things like that, and sometimes it irritates you a little bit, but you look at God's word and go, yeah, you're right. Christians shouldn't behave that way. Hey, and thank God for those people. You thank God for them. Like, hey, thank you, man, because I know you want me to be like Christ too. Yeah, the world needs some peace. Peace is only going to come through Jesus. I'm going to model this character in any chance I get. And I'm going to go to battle, man, with my feet shod with the gospel of peace, man, so people can know the God of peace, and it's only through Jesus Christ. But the goal is to be holy. It's to be like Jesus. 1 Peter 2 says that we can follow in his footsteps, that we can put on the new man. Everybody take your Bibles and hunt down Colossians chapter 3. If you can hunt down Colossians chapter 3, Jordan tries to pop it up on the screen. So if you're not quick in your Bible, but try to get quick in your Bible. You know, since I've been using my phone a lot more, or my tablet, like to do some reading, it's funny. I'll go somewhere and just have my pages of the Bible, and somebody will say, hey, turn here. And you just think it was a pastor, you'd be like, and flip right there, and people would be like, man, that guy knows his Bible, don't he? Well, then when you get digital, then I'll find myself going. Then it's quiet in the room, and it's really bad, and you're like, then I just act like I know it. So I sit back, you know, or go to the front. You got to go to the index. I'm like, I knew Zechariah was in this book somewhere. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. Are you there? Colossians 3:10, and it says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we can put on the new man, but it's renewed in the knowledge. See, we get in God's word. That's the mind of Christ. And we renew our mind with it. We start thinking and acting like Jesus. That's the goal. That's the goal. To be brainwashed. To get our brains washed out. Romans 8:28-9 says that. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of Jesus. Guys, the goal is to be like Jesus. Right? That's the goal. The problem is, Mike still's here. Jesus is on the inside. And Jesus just says, hey, work out your salvation. What's inside? Work it out. Work it. Now, God gives us all personalities. And I love that we all have different personalities. That's the beautiful thing. But the problem is, all of our personalities need dominated by the image of Christ. Do you see that in Scripture? Jesus should be the one in the forefront. So what's on the inside, let it come out. Everybody today wants to have their identity, like, and put their whole, you know, this is me and this is my brand. Well, we're supposed to be brand Jesus. It can have a twist on it by having your personality, for sure. But our goal is to be like Jesus Christ. That's why this morning, if you've read your reading yet, our church is reading together on our Bible app, that Hebrews chapter 12, it says, hey, make sure that, you know, being God's son, you get corrected. He corrects you. And it says, take it. Hey, endure the correction of the Lord. Take that. You know why? He's making you better. It's profiting you. That's why I love coming to church. I love getting in the word, and God will correct me. Come on. I know there's times I get sick of it. Can I do nothing right? Every time I read the Bible, come to church, I hear something that I need to adjust. But God's saying, dude, I love you, man. This is profiting you. We're becoming more like Jesus. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely and utterly. That's what he does. I love that word too, because God will sanctify me, and he's not going to stop till it's all, till it's complete. How many part-timers in the room? That's the big problem with Christianity. Everybody's part-time. I deal with Christianity when I want to. I come to church. I'll read when I want to. I'll act like a Christian when I want to. If any other activity or event crosses anything to do with God, it's an option for me. And I'm taking the best option for me, the easy option. Well, listen, part-timer, you're not going to get the benefits of the Christian life. You got to be full-time. You got to be full-time on this gig. That's what you got to do. Holy. He wants to sanctify you. Holy. Completely, fully. And I just want you to know something. Church, God is committed to this process. That's why he says, the God of peace sanctify you wholly. He's not finished until the job is done. He won't, that's why if you keep reading, he says, and I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until what? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's never going to end. Correction's never going to end. I'm going to constantly be growing. God's committed to this. Of course, when we get to heaven and our flesh is done away with, we're going to be like, yeah. That's one of the beautiful part about that's going to be about heaven. You know, but God's going to make sure there's, let me give you some examples. You want some examples of this in the scriptures? Study the word clay. Just look up clay in the Bible. It says, God says, you're the clay, I'm the potter. I am the potter, you are the clay. Anybody that has clay, you ever watch a guy, a real guy with clay, a real girl that's good at the clay and pot? Man, whap, whap, whap. Throwing a little whap, whap. They're working, so whap, and they're beating it up and doing all that. Forming it, molding it, molding it, molding it, trying to get it soft. And eventually they'll end it and they'll put it, and then they end it with putting it in fire. Like, what a heck of a process to make an ashtray, you know? I shouldn't say ashtray. People, that's what I did. I remember we got to make something out of clay in the fourth grade. I'd never worked with clay. Well, I had Play-Doh. Or back then, I think I had Silly Putty is what I had. And then I got to bring home something. Well, my dad was a smoker, man. I was proud to bring home. My teacher's like, what are you going to make? I'm like, I'm making my pops an ashtray, man. That's what we value in our house, you know? And so I did. We had a little ashtray at home. You know, I'm like, I made that thing. I beat that thing up. I molded that thing. My teacher put it in this oven. And got it all hot and hard. And so I made this thing. I worked at it. And here it's clay. And I want you to know God calls you and me his people. He actually calls Israel his clay. But we're his people. And he molds us and makes us. And he's going to work until you're complete. Until you're done. Do you know they can also take clay now? Even after it's hard. They can bust it down into pieces and grind it and put it back. Into things, you know, kind of how they're doing tires today. They put them everywhere in tracks, on roads, and asphalt. They're able to reuse that stuff. So I like it sometimes. You get hard and you're standing, you're just like, it's a terrible ashtray, isn't it? Yeah. Well, let's make it again. Grind that thing to powder and they put it right back in the mix, you know. I feel like God is this way with you and me. It's not over, church. What about the refiner's fire? The Bible says he'll put you under heat till the dross comes to the top. People that play with metals. You skim the garbage. Heat will bring impurities to the top. But notice it's pressure. It's heat. These are part of the process of being sanctified. What about 1 Peter? It says, hey, in your faith, it's more precious than gold. And God's going to put it to the test, man. He's going to put it in your faith will be tried by fire. Guys, this is not easy. So let me give you some encouraging words this morning. Church, Maple City Baptist Church, everybody here this morning, you're being sanctified. You're becoming more like Christ. And it's hard, man. It is so difficult. You'd think it'd be easy. But by golly, we got coffee and donuts. We got sugars up here, right? There's all kinds of things to eat up there. You know why we do that? Because it's so hard to be in the Bible. Get a cup of coffee and eat a cup. Eat a muffin. Eat a chocolate chip cookie while we're going through this because the words today are going to be kind of hard. It's hard, isn't it? Enjoy the sugar. Refiner's fire, clay. As we abstain from things and yield to other things, my point is the process of sanctification is rough. And I think, and that's why he said, he just didn't say this. I want you to know something, man. God's going to sanctify you wholly. You're going to be so tore up sometimes. You're going to say, why? Why is this so difficult? Just remember, I'm the God of peace, and I will sanctify you wholly. It's coming together, Mike. Hey, it's coming together for you. He is the God of peace, and he's going to hold you together. He's working it, but the process of sanctification is tough. The word holy, he says he'll do it wholly. God don't do things partway. We do things partway. God does things completely. He's after you. I want you to know that. He's after you. He wants you. Don't settle to be part-time. Don't settle to be. My favorite song used to be years ago. Me and Bob Bear used to listen to the song while we hacky sack back in the day when we were younger, man, Bob. And it was a song called I Don't Want to Be a Casual Christian by DeGarmo and Key. I'd listen to that song. And with all of my heart, I would sing it. God, I do not want to be a casual Christian. I do not want to live just a casual Christian life. And God's like, oh, believe me, you're not going to. And then this morning he says, but I'm the God of peace. I'm going to sanctify you wholly and completely. There's a, you ever watch like America's Got Talent? On that show, this lady comes out there. She takes this big canvas and she starts doing this wacko painting with, I mean, there's all kinds of crazy things on there. She does things and then she's throwing stuff. And it's taken a long time. They have a little music in the background. All of a sudden one guy's like, nah! Hits the buzzer and I'm like, oh my gosh, she got a big accident. And she's working and working and working and nah! She got the second buzzer. I'm like, this poor lady, she ain't even done. She is not done. And finally, the third buzzer went off. She's done. You lose. She's like, she's standing there and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. She's like this good looking lady too, man. She's like, oh, you know, it's sweet. And they're like, I'm sorry, you just couldn't get there. And she's like, yeah, it's a, so she said, before I leave, I don't know if you've ever seen this one, man. She took this thing and she turned it upside down. And then she took something and she threw like this powder up there. I don't know what in the world it was, but all of a sudden it's like, and this thing was such a beautiful piece of artwork. And I think it might have been one of the faces of one of the judges. But you couldn't see it until she flipped it upside down, did some voodoo on it, and it come out. And everybody started standing ovation, and even the judges stood up, and they're just like, my gosh. I'm just like, that's right. You hit the X too early. That's the problem. It wasn't done. Could you not wait? It was a beautiful piece of artwork. Could you not endure it? Bam! It was going to be beautiful. She was out. You know, I just wanted to let you know this. God's not done, man. He's going to sanctify you, and he's going to do it wholly, and he's going to do it completely. And I want you to know something. I'm not a good finisher. I'm not going to lie. I know how to do some carpentry work. I'm a good starter. I love to tear things up. I love roughing. But when it comes to the little details, it gets on my nerves. I'm not a great finisher. I'm really not. That's something I've always struggled with. But my God is a finisher. My God completes what he starts. He ain't done with you today. And I don't care how you feel about it. It's not about your feelings. It's really not. God finishes. He made the heavens and the earth in Genesis chapter 2. And all of a sudden he said this in verse 1. And he finished it. It's complete. It's done. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. We're supposed to look to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He started it and he's going to complete it. That's what he does. My God's a finisher. Everybody take your Bibles. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 1. Be careful, man. Be careful. God's a working and I know what you want to do. You want to do what I want to do. You're like, let's move this show on. Nah, done. Ah, it's not done. It's not done. I know it's painful. Like, what is she doing up there? She's doing a piece of artwork. It's going to be beautiful. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says this. Hey, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying here in 1 Thessalonians 5. The very God of peace sanctify you holy. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless, man, until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's working. He's working it. Don't give up. He's working. He's a finisher. Jesus Christ finished it, didn't he? Hung on the cross. What was said? Done. It's finished. He completed what he started. God, I've finished the work that you've called me to do. Yeah, Jesus was a finisher too, right? God was a finisher. Jesus is a finisher. Now the question is this. What about you? What about me? Are you done? I get it. Paul wasn't done. Paul said, I fought a good fight, man. You know what Paul said? I finished my course. That's what Paul said. Paul's like, yeah, just like God's a finisher, Jesus a finisher, I'm going through forward with this. See, God's committed to the process. So guys, I just want to encourage you today, be committed to the process. He wants to sanctify you holy, completely, to be like Jesus. And notice, just hang your hat on, he says he's the God of peace. Because sometimes when you don't get it, or when you don't understand, one of my favorite things I've done in my life was I got to coach. Josephine played years of softball, and I liked even when they were real little, because there's just so many great lessons you can give. And it's nice coaching people that you can beat up, you know? You don't want to get out there and say the wrong thing to other guys that are bigger and badder than you. But it was just nice to be able to go out there. And I always loved at the end of games. I remember there were tears on the mound, and I had to call time out and go out there. Parents are wanting, get her out. You know, she's terrible, you know. And we're trying to teach this girl to push through adversity. So I'm out there, and I remember, that's a girl. She's actually graduating this year, sent us a graduation party invite. I'm just like, I don't even know if she knows it. I go out there, she's crying. She's done. Her mom wants her out. She's done. I said, listen, one more out, man. You got to push through. You got it in you. I'm trying to teach her, you know, and we're not doing very good anyway, so it don't matter. So I'm just like, come on. You know, she's already walked three people, and, you know, everybody's calling for her head, you know, and I was like, good Lord, you know, she's nine, you know, she's eight, you know, come on, you know, and you just remember going through the whole thing. And then the best parts, though, were after the game. After the games, we're all sitting around licking lollipops or popsicles or whatever we had. You know, somebody brought some treats and we're all eating sugar, just sitting around together. I'm just like, hey, guys, do you remember this girl, man, out in the mound? She was crying today, wasn't she? Struggling. And we're all like, yeah. And then all the other girls immediately just go, oh, it's okay. It was all right. You know, I got news for you. It don't matter now, does it? Because, you know, you're valuable to us. And you're not valuable to us just because you pitch. You know, it's like, it was just nice to wrap up a little life lesson and just saying, man, it's okay. We love you for who you are, you know, and the process is hard and rough, but now it's over, right? And so I love all those little teaching moments in life sometimes. And you know what it is? I just feel like I get a little bit of opportunity to then bring peace to a situation that has some friction. This is what God does. I don't know how you're feeling today or how well you're doing, but I just want you to know the God of peace, He's going to sanctify you wholly. Church, He ain't done with you. Just remember that. He's not done. You might need to crawl up into His arms today and just let Him be peace for you. He's the God of peace. It's going to be okay, you know. But He's going to sanctify. You're going to be like Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do that until the job's done. In Philippians, what does He say? God says, be confident of this very thing. God says, I started a work. I'm finishing this thing. That's what He said. The God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body completely holy be what? Preserved blameless. That I'm going to grow until Jesus comes. I'm going to grow. Sometimes it's baby steps. It's not all good. It's very, very rough. I know this. There's a song I used to learn. I learned it back when I was in church camp, actually. And this guy would give an invitation, and the invitation was, will you follow Christ? Are you going to follow Christ? I mean, He's going to do His part. Are you going to do your part? And I'm just like, I'm following Jesus. So then we learned a song, and I think most of you would know this song if you've been in church for a while anyways, but the song is, I have decided to follow Jesus. You ever heard that song? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I'm not turning back. The cross before me. You ever sang the song? You ever heard the history behind that song? It's a beautiful story. We got the video of how that thing was put together. You got that video ready to go, Jordan? Watch this video. I think you'll like it. It may encourage your heart.
In 1904, revival swept across Wales. God made Himself known in a very special and personal way. After the revival, a Welshman ventured halfway across the world to India, and he trekked up the mountains towards a remote village in the east. He was told, "Go back. The tribe in that village are famously violent." But the Welshman ignored the warnings. Because even these savage headhunters should have the opportunity to hear about the mercy of God. One tribesman and his family heard the gospel and received Jesus as their savior. The good news was too good to keep to themselves, and they shared the gospel with others in the tribe. The chief was very angry, and he had the tribesmen and his family dragged before the village. "Stop following Jesus," the chief demanded. The tribesman replied, "No, I have decided to follow Jesus. I am not turning back." The chief was furious and killed the tribesman's children. "Stop following Jesus," the chief insisted. The tribesman replied, "Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back." The chief showed no mercy, and he killed the tribesman's wife. "Now you will stop following this Jesus," the chief said. The tribesman looked the chief in the eyes and replied, "The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back." The chief could not believe his ears, and he killed the tribesman. Jesus said, "If a grain of wheat dies, it bears much fruit." And that day, many of the villagers who witnessed the persecution of that tribesman and his family also decided to follow Jesus. Even the chief himself became a follower of Jesus Christ. The tribesman's last words became the song of the village, and today it is sung all around the world. "I have decided to follow Jesus.
Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. We have decided to follow Jesus.
Yeah, great story. And the bottom line is this: the process of sanctification and becoming holy and becoming like Jesus, it's just difficult. And you got to say, "I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm not going to turn back." And the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. Just to let you guys all know that he's going to do it till it's done. One day you'll get to heaven, and he says he just hopes on planet Earth that you'd be preserved blameless here. But verse 24, I like how he ends this thing. I'll shut up. He says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." You know why he says this, guys? Because the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. He's going to complete this job, but sometimes we don't always do ours. Sometimes I feel like I'm not the man of faith, that I don't trust him like I should. But guess what? I might not trust him like I should, but he is trustworthy. He is faithful. And he's called me to be sanctified. He's called me to be like Christ. He's called us to be just like him. So faithful is he that calleth you. And guess what? Who also will do it. He's faithful. And he's not going to stop till the job's done. I love in the Bible when you look at people that were called faithful. But you don't find any more called faithful than God and his word in Scripture. God's faithful and he called us into fellowship, 1 Corinthians 1:9. You went under temptation? I got news for you. You're under temptation? You feel like you're going to fall? You feel like you're pulled towards sin or towards the world? 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation that's taken you. But God is faithful. I know you're troubling right now, like struggling if you're going to be faithful. But just remember, God's faithful. He'll do it, man. He'll do this thing. 2 Thessalonians, he says, the Lord is faithful and he will establish you. Guys, we can deny him, and the Bible says he will not deny us because of Christ. He's faithful. Our God is faithful, and this is why he demands you and me to have this character of faithfulness. The God of peace sanctify you wholly. He'll make you holy, and he'll do it wholly and completely. And he'll take your whole spirit, soul, and body. You'll be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the last words, I love them. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.